Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers Podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers Podcast. And join me on the other line for what is going to be probably a four-part mailbag series is Mr. Tony's. Tony, are you prepared to answer 32 mailbag questions?
You know, I think so. This has been a fun gauge for me and in what people like to talk about, because normally we ask for a mailbag, we get like 10 to 15 questions or not even that. This time we got upwards of 30. So people like to have their free agency questions answered.
Yeah. So if you listen to the intro, if you are listening to this podcast on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you can go back to previous days and listen to old mailbag ones and start. We're going to start on Tuesday. What is that? April 30th and run through May 1, 2, 3, right? That's the dates of these four mailbags. If you send us a question, we're going to answer it. I mean, it is Sunday at 6:38 Eastern time. So if your question got in before that timeline, it will be answered on this podcast. If not, unfortunately, you'll have to wait for our next mailbag show. But we have probably bitten off more than we can chew, but you know, it's a good problem to have to have too much audience engagement.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Also, because of the way we're doing this, I can't do the thank you tweets to people who did questions. So you'll have to actually listen to figure out when your question gets answered this time.
Yes, but we're answering every question that got sent to us. If we missed you, you can tweet at us on Friday. We didn't get your question by Friday. And we'll answer it on our next show as an apology.
Yep. All right. Let's get to it. Mailbag part 3 kicks off with a familiar face asking a question that we answered to end part 2. Colts fan Ryan, @ColtsFanRyan, his name's just Ryan on Twitter, says, who could you see the Pacers bringing in to replace Bojan and Thad if either of them walk? What do the Pacers have to give up for Conley? If the Pacers brought in Conley, who do the Pacers keep and let go of their current free agents? Favorite MLE or minimum guys? Okay, let's go one at a time. Number one, Bojan and Thad replacements, which technically for you guys, we and Adam just answered this question and we're kind of going back to back to back, but you guys heard it yesterday, so we'll answer it again. Wings are harder. Actually, they're both hard. We've established that. Wings are hard to get. Fours are hard to get. I think the most realistic Bojan replacement if he walks is like Rudy Gay or Harrison Barnes. And the most realistic Thad replacement if he walks is like Mirotić or Aminu, or also Harrison Barnes can play the four. Maybe Paul Millsap if he, when he gets declined in Denver, but I don't know why they'd not want to keep him. So it's hard.
I mean, right? There's not going to be they're not going to get a big name guy to replace any of these players.
Nope.
Did you say Randall as a
replacement? Oh, yeah. Julius Randall. I completely forgot. I literally just skimmed past his name. I did not mean to do that.
Randall's probably a decent replacement for Thad, would be my thought. And then he's got a power forward.
Tobias Harris would be awesome.
Yeah, but I consider him a big name.
I consider him to be a big name. Yeah, so I'm with you. Good job. Go us.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
I feel like one's going to be back. It's hard to think of replacements.
Well, and because that's the thing about cap space. It's kind of fake because you have to replace three starters. So you're not really out of cap space.
Yeah, fake cap space. I'm going to hammer that home. Like,
and it's really hard too when you haven't hit on draft pick in three, right?
Yeah.
They haven't hit on a draft pick since.
Since last year.
Well, I mean, like a guy starting draft pick. So, right? Who on the roster? They haven't drafted a starter since Turner, right?
No, that's normal.
Well, it's normal, but like for a
they've only picked two first round guys since Turner.
Top three, right? Turner's a year.
No, they traded Karras and then drafted Leaf Holiday.
Oh.
Only two.
Yeah, but the thing is that's how you prevent. So sorry, let me rephrase. That's how you prevent this problem is you draft well and you get a starter out of like Leaf theoretically should be a starter by now, right?
I know it's like only the Spurs can do this, but yes, that is in theory a way to keep your team cheap.
Yeah.
Well, only one team in the NBA has successfully done this.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of teams that have top 10 picks that have simply drafted three starters.
Top 10 pick is a different thing. Also, even top 10 picks take years.
But also remember that OG Anunoby went after Jaden Ivey, and that guy could start for an NBA team. Just remember that.
Yes. Yeah. There are guys that are behind you. There are tons. But
Kuzma, right?
Kuzma go behind. Last year, there were some starters picked after Holiday. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's part of the problem is they missed on Leaf badly. Like, badly.
Missing on Leaf, yeah. But, a lot of teams miss on guys that year, you know?
When we talked about.
I'm not defending the Leaf pick. I'm just saying, you can't look at guys after and be like, they're bad drafters, you know, because everybody skipped out.
No, but we talked about in the last segment, the last show, that, how many guys do you have in rotation that can play in the playoffs? Well, Leaf was not even – you didn't even say, should we put Leaf in there? Like, that's right. The problem is that, like, even if Leaf can't start, then you have to place him on your bench and your starter, which then he's on the roster making $3 million, which I don't really understand. May not make sense actually either in the long run. So there's all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, his team option coming up in October will be very interesting. Part two of the question, what do the Patriots have to give up for Conley? I wonder if this question is – it was asked before Friday. That makes sense. Friday's show should cover that answer. However, the determined offers from Mr. SB Nation Grizzly Joe Mullinax was either Sabonis, McDermott, and he comes into space with a lottery protected first, or a sign and trade with less protections because the Grizzlies are getting screwed into money, Holiday, and a first. So, stuff.
Yeah, what did we say? It's going to take probably two assets out of Sabonis, a first, and
so that was a good point that Joe made. If it's Sabonis, because that's the better of the two assets between him and Holiday.
Yeah,
you could protect the pick much more, which I actually think is a good point. Because if it's Sabonis, I'm happy doing lottery protected and having it turn into 2 seconds. If it's Holiday, no, I want a first eventually. I said that makes total sense to me.
So the question is, one, the McDermott thing, can you get McDermott off the books? Get him into there, and that way you have an extra.
McDermott, if there's a Conley trade, McDermott's in it, 100%.
Okay, so you think so. There. So can you get Leaf in that deal too to get rid of $10 million space?
I don't know.
But can you clear up $10 million? Because that's an NBA player.
That's a third of Conley's money next year. There you go. All right. We did it.
Well, right. And so then you take it into space, and then you have room. So of their $45 million cap space, that's $25
million. $55 million now you put – yeah, exactly.
They have $25 left.
Which means
then theoretically, if you play it right, you could re-sign both Bojan and Thad if things work
barely.
Out. Barely. And you only lost one rotation. Well, no, yeah, you lost two rotation guys because you gave up, let's say, Aaron Holiday in a first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aaron Holiday, a first, Mike Conley, and
– you lost two rotation guys if you count McDermott, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But you added one in, I'm sorry, minus one in the aggregate.
Yeah, but Holiday didn't even play rotation in the playoffs, so then you're looking at – then you have to add a guy in the MLB. Is there any guy on Memphis who's also, like, could play
– ooh.
That's packaging with Conley to get something to happen? I mean, that's also
– ooh. Let's go check that out. That is a great question. I have not considered adding anyone into his money because it's big.
Yeah, but if you're gonna go,
they're not gonna. Okay, Valanciunas is a free agent. No Parsons. Daylon Wright is a free agent. Justin Holliday is a free agent. CJ Miles maybe. Dylan Brooks maybe.
Oh, CJ Miles, come back. He hates it here, doesn't he?
He hated an anonymous player on the team that I think all of you can figure out who everybody hated on that iteration of the team, but I will not say a name.
Yes.
I will just say that. Maybe like Javon Carter, he was a second rounder last year. I love him.
So side question.
Maybe.
Oh, Valdez has a player option, right, for next year? So who's picking that up?
Yeah, he's picking it up.
Okay, I thought he's afraid of him. What's he going to get? Because he might be.
He's good. Valanciunas is sneaky good, man.
As a bench center, he wouldn't be terrible.
That much money, he would be.
Oh, but for like three, like two for 16, or that might be too much.
All right. If the Pacers brought. Oh, do you want to keep going? Sorry.
Well, I'm saying so. There's really no other guy to package with Conley.
Correct.
Yeah. Unless you want to trade him the Parsons on and then give up
correct.
Nothing.
Correct.
Turner's
just done. That's not happening. Done.
Yeah, I mean, you
doesn't make sense.
What pick do the gonna get?
They might not have one. They either they're sitting eight in the lottery, and if they sit first eight, they keep it, and if it goes to nine, it goes to the Celtics, and they want it to convey, so they can have it know it
in future. Well, I was gonna say, is there some crazy way where like you think Conley, their first, Parsons for like Turner and something to make it work, and that's is that God, worth it?
Adam, stop. Take a nap.
Number three pick or number two pick.
I don't think Memphis would trade away their first in any circumstance if they got it, even if they got off Parsons money.
You know what? They don't need to. Right, Chris Walls at the GM?
He's gone. They fired him, remember?
Oh, that's right. They fired him. Okay, never mind. You're not screwing them over. Because
your point was going to be good if they hadn't fired him.
Remember last year? That was the rumor. They were going to trade the four in Parsons to get rid of Parsons' contract.
Ridiculous.
Which the owner, I think, came in and said, no, we're not doing that.
No way. No way. I would rather have Jaren Jackson every time.
Yeah.
If the Pacers brought in Conley, who do the Pacers keep and let go of their current free agents? If they get Conley, everybody's gone except for maybe Thad and Bojan. That's easy. Right?
Well, no. If they can make it work with the money that we're talking about before, that leaves them $25 million. They can bring back probably Thad and Kojo if they wanted to.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. One of the point guards, but then you're losing Bojan. Two of the guys.
Oh, of the Thad. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just saying in general, you could bring back probably two players with extra money of your own guys.
Favorite MLE or minimum guys to round out the roster. Okay. I want
your, right up your alley, man. It's all yours.
What? Oh, well, let me do some cap words here. The MLE mid-level exception is not very big for the Pacers if they use space, but if they don't use space, it could be big, which makes this question hard to answer because if they don't use space and they just keep a bunch of their own guys, it's like $10 million. And if they do use space and get a new guy, it's like $4.5 million.
So it's what Kyle Quinn made.
It's the difference between what Rudy Gay got and what Kyle Quinn got, which is like a vastly, vastly different tier of player, which makes that question very hard to answer.
Right, because the rule is if you go above the cap, but don't use, then you get a higher MLE, right?
If you're already above the cap, you get a higher MLE.
Yeah.
Because they want teams to have spending powers or players get paid. That makes total sense. If you already use space, you have forfeited the opportunity to get this giant exception.
And it also means the Pacers are still probably nowhere close to the luxury tax at the 119. There's 20 million. Well, I guess it'll be 100.
No, the luxury tax would be almost 130.
Maybe. Right. Next, I'm thinking this year's cap. This year, the cap was what, like 100 or 99, and the milk check was 119.
Yep.
And next year's going to be like 108, 109. And it's going to be 120, 130.
Yep. Absolutely. So that's that preface. I'm going to operate under the exception, exception, the assumption that it's the room exception because I think they're going to use space.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard for me to project, but like Wes Matthews is that kind of level to me if they wanted to do that. Let's see. Stretch four, maybe Marvin Williams. Mark Keith, the worst Morris twin. This is hard.
I don't know enough.
Rodney Hood.
Lance Stevenson, to be honest.
Lance. I hated that. That level of guy. If they think at the real mid-level, you're talking some dude like Rudy Gay. Man, I've said his name too many times in this mailbag, but you get the idea.
Corey Joseph, the mid-level player. That's what he gets.
Yes. Corey Joseph got the mid-level when it was smaller, when he was at Toronto. Danny Green level right there. You get the gist. It's a big gap. Minimum guys are harder because part of it is that the free agent list I'm looking at is only 70 players long and it's not, doesn't have it. I want all of them.
The thing is if you could hit on a mid-level guy, it can make your team significantly better. But like most likely, hit on no matter these men. Yeah. Most of these minimum guys are not going to be even rotation players. To be honest, they're going to fill
that's. That's like, this is unfair, but like guys who chase titles, right, are like take that deal to sign with the best team so they get huge contributors for these deals, which, you know, is makes them look like you can get contributors even though it's only the absolute best teams that can.
Yeah.
I went to a Bleacher Report article and only had 25 free agents, and then it made me click through slides.
Ugh. I don't think there are any minimum guys out there. Like,
slides. I'm having trouble finding a list of guys that I would even like think about for the minimum because it's so hard to find a list of all the players in one place. If a website could just have a list, I don't even care if they're sorted by best to worst player. I just want a list. Does Sport
Track have that?
Huh?
Doesn't Sport Track have a free agent list?
Man, they should. They do a lot of good stuff over there at Sport Track.
Pretty sure they
do. Every sport, too. It's insane.
I'm pretty sure they do. I'm actually staring at a list of every
minimum dudes. One of them, I think they're going to use a minimum on the center because I don't think they're going to use the room exception on that level guy against. Like Salo Mejri from the Mavs could be a good minimum guy because they do need a third center. Turner and Sabonis get hurt almost every year. Maybe like Zaza Pachulia level guy, although please keep my least favorite player in the league off of this team. Gerald Green, oh, he'll probably get a little bit more than the minimum. And Bamute might be a minimum guy. I would love that.
Amir Johnson's
a minimum guy. This is so hard and boring to scroll through all these names. Omri Caspi. Yeah, you get the idea. There are lots of minimum guys.
Yeah, I think it's almost dang near impossible to pick who they're going to get.
Next question is from @OladipoBurner, whose name is just the chain emoji. Most realistic thing you expect the Pacers to do, in parentheses, what you think the front office will actually do. Let's see. The number one most realistic move I expect from the Pacers this summer. The number one most realistic move is not a move at all. I think it's going to be a picking up the third year option on Aaron Holiday, but that's not what you mean. I think this is hard.
I think
bringing back Thad is probably the most realistic.
I'm just a general. I think they're going to bring everyone back and run it back again.
Wow. Interesting.
I don't think they make any crazy move unless they get something on the cheap.
Splashy splash. Yeah, I think there are a lot of guys coming back to the disdain of many people. But, I mean, look what Portland did, man. You just keep chipping away with your dudes.
Well, who did that last year? Didn't a team do that last year? It was Toronto. They made second round doing the same thing.
Toronto made the second round like 100 years in a row doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Shay Orr at Shay underscore Orr 94. Love this question, although we kind of talked about it on part one. Patrick Beverley is an underrated idea for the Pacers. The cost to get him should be reasonable for what he could bring to the table. What do you guys think? Love it. Mostly love it.
Do the Clippers own his bird rights?
Yes, they do.
He's not leaving LA.
Full bird rights on him. No, they're trying to get two max guys is why. So they'd cut his cap hold to get
to two max guys. He's coming back.
They'd cut his cap hold. They have to cut his cap hold to get two max slots, and then they don't have his bird rights anymore if they do that.
No, I'm saying, but they don't. What if they don't get the two max? What if they only get Kawhi? Let's say
then is he gonna wait? Like, that's not his problem.
Wasn't Kawhi gonna decide on July 1?
Why would he decide on July 1?
Isn't that what most free agents do?
No, the stars always wait and like take billion meetings with all these teams.
Didn't PG? Oh, he resigned. That's different.
He resigned, yeah.
Yeah. Guys
who switch teams always drag it out for like.
Well, I'll say the reason why wait is because it's LA and people love being in LA.
That is the reason. I do agree with that. And I'm sure he loves that team, but also they have like Shamit and Shea, Gilgeous Alexander. God, that's hard. So I don't know if they want Patrick Beverley a ton.
You gotta train a lot of those guards for Davis.
That is also true. You have a point.
I end up staying in.
The only reason I think he could leave is just because he'd have to be waiting around, and that's not fair. But you're right. You're right that if they get really good, you know, he'd be like, yeah, I like it here.
Yeah.
He'd be awesome on the Pacers. Another defensive guard next to Vic would be nasty, and he's like just good enough at offensive stuff that I'm okay with it.
Yeah, he'd be actually probably a great sixth man.
If he was a tick worse on offense, I would not be about it actually, because man, they need guys who can do stuff on offense, and he kind of can't. But his defense is so good,
and it would really help Vic, who wanted to guard the best guard.
It would really, yes, that is.
And when they needed to could guard, they could like really attack two guard teams defensively, but. They needed to. They could rest Vic more and get him to let him just carry the offensive load.
Yes, you are correct.
Because Vic's going to load management next season, I think.
I think you're right, too. If he even comes back right away. No one asked that the question, though, so I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, little break, and then back for the next group of questions. All right, David sneaking in here again. David Matillo or David Matillo. Still don't know what it is. David, let me know. You probably let me know yesterday, but let me know. He says, should the Pacers throw a max deal at D'Lo, and is there any way the Nets don't match? Yeah, I absolutely think there's a way the Nets don't match because they're smart. But also,
because he's a young guy who had a great season, he's not going to leave.
They're overwhelmingly likely to match because they went through this slog of a rebuild with no high picks, and he is their first glimmer of hope for a team that has been stuck at the bottom for 5 years.
No team is that smart to not re-sign a guy who was an all-star who had a good year, who's young.
I mean, they just have such a good front office, and I know that they know he's going to be overpaid, but yeah, I almost.
What are they going to do? Not re-sign him, and then what free agent's gone there?
That's right? The thing. They think they're going to get someone because they're in a huge market, and they were just really good. But,
okay, but
part of the reason they were really good is because of D'Lo.
The only reason he doesn't get re-signed is if they go after Durant, and they get Durant and Butler, let's say, but then you re-sign Russell the Max, and you pay the luxury, and you have an NBA championship team then. Like,
yeah, no, I think there is – I agree that it's overwhelmingly high. I just think that –
cap hold is so tiny that you can pretty much fit – I don't know what –
his cap hold is big. His cap hold is huge. His
cap hold, like 10?
No, his cap hold's like 15 or 20 because he was the second pick.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking he was making like 5. I still think that he's making Sabonis Turner money. That's right.
No. He was his number 2 pick. That's why it's so high. You are right. And normally, first round pick holds are not.
Wasn't Kristaps like 7 last year? Maybe it was Turner that was 7.
No, Kristaps is this summer, and it's like 15, but he'll get.
Oh, man. I don't know. I guess Turner's was like 7.
D'Angelo Russell's cap hold, Adam. Are you ready?
Yes.
$21 million.
Really? Holy crap. Yep. I did not realize it was that much.
Yeah, the getting picked high is not exactly a boon for your team in free agency.
Yeah, but it is a boon when your guy averages 20 points a game almost.
That is probably his value, maybe a little lower than that to me personally, but I understand that number is probably about his value, so they'll keep that hold on the books, no problem. But yeah, he's not a max guy. He's going to get the max. It is what it is. His defense sucks, but he's a good player, so he'll be back. I think it'd be impossible to get him unless they somehow get two max dudes and then like, screw it, we don't want your cap hold, have fun somewhere else.
Yeah, I just think they have to almost guarantee themselves two stars, and at that point, two max guys, and at that point, you still do it.
That'd be crazy if the Nets somehow get the stab at two max guys, because they'd have to trade Allen Crabb and a bunch of other good dudes.
Like Bill Simmons, but he said his podcast the other day, he was talking about Durant going to the Nets instead of the Knicks. So that'd be kind of
cool. Bill Simmons also talked about the Pelicans selling the team, which is clearly not.
Yeah, I think it was more him kind of saying, well, that'd be kind of the biggest nephew of the Knicks.
I forget where I heard that, like a bunch of people are saying, like, they've heard KD's going to leave, but he's not going where he thinks he's going. So maybe those do connect. Maybe I'm wrong.
I feel like Butler's the most likely Nets player next year, but that's just me.
I agree. No, I think Tobias Harris is my most likely Nets next year.
I think one of those two. That's fair.
Tobias is from the area, which throws a lot of him in there.
I just think Butler, because they're not going to want to pay him the full, and the Nets will pay him the full.
You think the Sixers will get cute? Yeah.
Yeah.
At Miller Time Indy, whose name I can't read because it's covered by a text from Adam Friedman.
Oh, no.
It's at Miller Time Indy, though. He says, what do you think about moving Vic to the one and picking up a guy like Terrence Ross if we don't land a starting caliber point guard? I love both of those moves.
Yeah.
That was easy.
Vic should be the one.
I don't know if he should be the one, but I'm okay with him being the one.
I think he should be. I think it's been proven in the playoffs that order to win, you have to have a good point guard. And
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, the best teams have a good point guard. I mean, right? I mean, looking at this season, the best teams in the playoffs, I guess.
Just hear me out here. Like, what's the huge difference? Like, if he plays point guard and, what's the difference that makes them better?
They can structure where they can get a two.
Because he already had an insanely high usage. Like, how is it going to get higher?
Well, they can play a two that's better off the ball and not a small.
That's true.
Yeah. Because
now a wing instead of Darren Collison.
Eight teams left in playoffs currently. Harden's is the point guard. Curry's the point guard. Lowry's the point guard on a team. Simmons is the point guard on a team. Kyrie's the point guard on the team. Lillard's the point guard. Who am I missing now?
Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray and then Milwaukee. Seven of the eight teams have the best point guards in the league. That's right? True. I mean, no one wins the Milwaukee, and Giannis is a point guard. And they have like three above average point guards in Bledsoe, Brogdon, and
no, I think you should. I just think like it's semantics, just like who takes the ball before. But the reason that they're the best point guards is because they'll have a guy who's really good right next to him, like Chris Paul, Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
go on and on and on.
Yeah, but if you know you're playing with the one, you don't have to tailor your number two to a guy. Right.
That's the value of him playing the one is not actually because he's playing the one.
Which it's the fact that you can kind of say, oh, okay, we're doing this guy who kind of can play one, but really will play two or three or whatever.
All right, the next person has three questions. We have to do a break now so we can do three questions to end the show. So let's do a break now. So your ad is cut off, but Stoop Kid Smith has three questions. Number one, do you think a Sabonis trade this offseason affects Vic wanting to stay long-term, a la when the Pacers traded Danny and George Hill, who are close to PG, especially knowing how close him and Vic are? Great question. Someone replied later after I screenshotted it and said, I've been wondering this too. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't have any feel for Vic's free agency. I knew with PG, you kind of heard the rumors that he wanted out. Vic, I've got no idea.
He is tight with Sabonis. That does help Sabonis.
But isn't he tight with Turner as well?
He's tied with everybody. He's the nicest dude ever.
He's a nice player.
Yeah, it doesn't help, you know, unless they get a guy that Vic also loves, they'll stay.
Like, to me, it seems like, I mean, and this is just, is that Vic wants to make Indy his final team.
I hope you're right.
Do you agree with me or no?
I hope you're right. I don't know. I can't read the dude at all.
It just feels like that he was. I mean, this is just an outside. Like, I don't know him anything or any incident, but it seems like on the outside that he felt like he was disrespected in the last couple places, or in a way that he was like, marginalized on the OKC bench. Orlando never really embraced him. Where Indiana, he got here before he even was really good. They kind of embraced him, and then they got good and they really embraced him, and it kind of made this his city in a way. And like kind of the way Dame Lillard owns Portland, I think is kind of what Vic wants to do in Indy.
That would be cool.
Feels like. Now, of course, that could change if he, you know, I mean, I don't know what the next super team is, but the good thing about Vic is he's just a notch below those like top 15 guys where you're not the teams. Like, you're not hearing speculation yet. Like, it's going to be a whole Giannis thing next year. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be all Giannis. Is Giannis going to
resign? No, I am going to hate it. I'm going to hate it. It's so going to be the
whole season. And you
who
know
cares?
It.
God, it drives me crazy.
Where, like, the thing about Vic is not going to be that same discussion because it's going to be. Although there might be because Kyrie's going to talk about it this year, too, for the same reason. So,
Adam, I think people don't like basketball. I think people just like the NBA because players move teams and it's fun. I don't think people like that.
I think it's people like the reality TV show of it more than like the games.
It drives me crazy. Dude, it's a mid-playoffs and people are like, oh my gosh, are you excited for the offseason? I'm like, guys, it's just games. Like,
well, so Tony, this is what makes the NBA the great league. Is it has all these different dynamics.
I know. And I like them when it's time to talk about them.
I know, but you've got the stat nerd side like you have in baseball. You've got the play type nerd that you have in football, and then you've got the reality TV show that people like about sports.
I just like the sport.
I know, but it's all a component in the sport, which makes it so great because it's all these people.
Oh yeah, I like talking about it when it's time. I like it.
Be the next most popular sport in America because it's got all the different components. It's 24/7, 365 kind of sports.
These are good things for the covers and stuff, although ratings in the playoffs are down because LeBron's not in it.
I think we'll wait to see what the Houston Golden
State Warrior fatigue. Yeah, that's true. That first game was good. I will not comment on the refs.
And the thing is, even if ratings are down, does it seem like interest is down?
No. No, it does not.
They just can't monetize Twitter, which is every news organization on this planet's problem. They can't monetize Twitter. So, yeah, I'd be welcome to the club.
You're right. Smith has told me to call him Smith in later questions, and I can do that. Good first question. It got us talking. Second question. Are you in the camp of keeping this year's and possibly next year's draft picks or trading them for a veteran player? I think you have to keep one. The Pacers aren't really in the business of trading away a ton of picks just because they can't get guys in free agencies. They need to develop guys to get good players, but I'm okay with trading one of them. I don't think I'd trade both of them.
Yeah, but it does seem like every 3 years they have a good draft pick, no matter where
that's true.
Right? I'm trying to think in my head. I guess maybe it was Turner, and before that it was PG. That one was probably too far. I'm looking at Peter's first. Maybe it's every 4 or 5 years then. Maybe not every three.
Pretty good for most teams. Don't even get that around 20 and later.
Yeah, maybe you take Holiday. It's really every 3 years, right? 2015 Turner, 18 Holiday. If he's considered a good pick, PG 2010. Looking at, and you go.
Granger was 2005 or was Danny 2006.
Granger was 2005. So every five years, you hit on a pick. It seems like
right.
So
you're right.
And not a single pick in single digits in that entire run.
Yep. Good for them. In that way, I think they keep one of the two.
I guess I should count in 08, Hibbert was traded for their pick, right? And that's a hit.
Smash.
Even though he didn't play that long, he was a hit for the 3 years. He was like the best out of the league or one of the best.
Last question from Smith. We know this is probably the most important offseason for KP. I'm assuming you mean so far because he could definitely have a more important one next year with Sabonis. What's your prediction for how he does since it's been a mixed bag? Hit on offseason 2 years ago, but missed badly this past offseason. Thank you for saying that because this last offseason was not good for him. I'm going to go on a mini rant before I start. Every time the Colts picked a player, I don't know nothing about football, right? So maybe I'm talking out my ass here. Every time the Colts picked a player, no matter who it was, every single person on Twitter was like, in Ballard we trust. I love this. It's like, guys, like you can be critical of stuff the guy does. If they do bad, they sometimes do bad stuff. And KP also has sometimes done bad stuff. The Vic trade was such a home run. He gets the longest leash. He can build a team around Vic now. He's clearly established a culture and a good team. Like he's very good at his job. It is kind of a crucial offseason for him, though, because last summer did not go well. And that is part of the reason they're in the situation they're in now. However, I think last summer was also a good learning experience for them to see what they need on the team. So I think the cards are stacked for him to do well, but I don't know how well he's going to do.
People say in Ballard we trust because by the second round of the NFL playoff or NFL draft, you absolutely have no idea who's being drafted. I have vaguely heard of these guys, but the third round, your name and get you could throw me a name from university and I believe you got drafted.
Didn't like, a punter get picked in like the fourth round?
I don't know. I'm the wrong person right now. I the NFL draft is the stupidest thing ever. The spectacle, it's great because he draft guys, but like let's wait till the year before we determine who's actually good and whether the pick was good. But with KP, the problem is you can't stack bad off seasons on bad off. That's how you create a problem. You know,
good job, Adam.
If you have, you can have one bad off season, or you can have one every 2 or 3 years. You just can't keep stacking them on top of each other because then it becomes a problem because then your team lacks depth. Your team has problems, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, this guy should be fired essentially. And you already become an Ernie Grunfeld and you get stuck with the team because the owner's too cheap to fire you. He doesn't have to hit a home run this year. He just has to have a better one than last year. That's the key.
Which is
He already hit a home run offseason. I mean, 2 years ago, he hit the home run. He turned
smoked it. Perfect. Literally perfect.
He will go down as one of the very few GMs in the entire NBA history to have a disgruntled superstar and turn him into a player almost as good as him. I mean,
he improved the team.
Yes. That's a fair. To trade
it's
your
insane. Best. That's insane.
Yeah. And to get fair value for that superstar in hindsight. Now, at the time, maybe not, but in hindsight, they got 100 cents on the dollar.
Team-friendly deals for two starters.
No, and even if you think – nuts. And even though Vic isn't as good as PG, he's 80% of him in Spoh's the other 20.
Yeah.
You got four.
Corey Joseph for free.
Yeah, exactly. All these little things. So, like, he has to just do something. You know, last offseason, he kind of – I think he got a little anxious with the stretch – needing a guy for spacing and got a little too anxious and paid McDermott probably too much money and should have said, you know what, is he really that valuable? Should we just hold the money for another offseason?
They wanted to get a shooter and a guy who could score off the dribble, and they overpaid the shooter and they got the wrong guy who could score off the dribble.
There were four of them out there and they just picked the wrong one because he was the last one available that picked them. Like, that's the problem too. They wanted Redick. They probably wanted Joe Harris. You know, that was the problem. And then he took a chance on Tyreek, but that was, you know, you knew it was a shot in the –
We all like the Tyreek signing too. Like, it's so hard for me to figure out how to evaluate things that go bad.
The McDermott one bothered because the minute he got signed, everybody's laughing at a bad contract. And it really was. I mean, he just, that money could be used better elsewhere, is all. Not that McDermott is a bad player, necessarily not worth the spacing, and that's worth some money. It's that at 7.3, this season would be more valuable because they could get somebody that could play in a rotation for them.
Opportunity cost high.
Yeah. And that's the problem. And then the draft pick, I mean, he hit on the draft pick theoretically. So actually, that's not a bad offseason, right? He hit one of three things. He made three big moves. He hit on one of them, right?
Yep.
So it just, the problem was the year before, he missed the pick, but he did everything else that had short term payoff too. Where Holiday's in a long term play, but Holiday's a good player in 2 years. You're going to look back and think, oh, wow, he one offseason, he got Vic Sabonis and he got Holiday all within a year span. And that's pretty good. That's your core set of a team right there.
Yeah.
So I think he just needed, I agree he had a bad offseason, but he just needs to have a better one. But I think I trust him, honestly, because I feel like he did a really good job that first year. I think last year he got a little anxious.
I think he has a vision and I trust him because of that.
And I think he got a little anxious last year. I think he thought he kind of was like, oh, if I can just improve the team a little bit,
it
we can get
it. Just goes so fast. I don't think anxious is the word I would use, but I understand what you mean.
Oh, I just mean that, like, he thought if he improved a little bit, the team could meet second round and third round of the playoffs. Because, like, he's correct because they would have. That's to say, like, he is right. He improved by enough where they would have won 50 plus games and made the second round of the playoffs, which I think he's looking at in the long run, like, okay, we'll make the playoffs this year, second or third round, then we'll compete. And this was the offseason where he wanted to compete. So now let's execute that plan. He shouldn't deviate from the plan just because the team lost in the first round. He should say, okay, this was the offseason we wanted to compete for the East title. Let's get guys that can do that kind of thing. Well, last was a kind of a shot in the dark. We know we have a good enough team whether we have these two guys or not.
I agree.
End of my rant.
Good. That was a good part three.
That was a good one.
That was a great part three. Part four is also fun. Don't worry. Thank you guys for listening on this lovely Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow for the end of this mailbag stuff. These questions are awesome. You guys are the best for sending them in. Stick around one more day to hear me and Adam fight about nonsensical things. See you guys tomorrow.